So our second scripture reading today, we're going to be in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading verses 5 through 16. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, that's going to be on page 1139. So Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we have a lot to be thankful for. And probably the most important thing we can praise God and thank him for is Jesus Christ. And as we look at this passage, we have to remember one of the key things that I have been trying to teach, and that is when you're reading these scriptures, it's in context. I saw a couple of you mouth that word. Good job. Context, context, context. Now, why is Paul going into this topic of Jesus coming to earth? Well, it is set in this chapter that is talking about humility and love for others. And so the passage that is right before where I started reading, I kind of did what those trailers do. They start you in the middle and you got to figure out, well, what's around it? Why is this going on? Well, you have to go back up a little bit and see how Paul writes in context. He's speaking to this church congregation and saying, starting in verse 1, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, considering others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. And that's when Paul drops into the greatest example that we can have for being humble and loving each other, and that's going into the model of Jesus Christ. Now, we can go probably for hours dissecting this verse, but I know that's going to not go too well for attendance in the future if we go for hours. But I wanted to point out a couple very important things in this section that really highlight the humility and love that Jesus was showing us. Now, if you look in verses 6 and 7, there is the word very nature. Who being in very nature God, Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be used as to his own advantage. Now, if you go through different translations, you'll see a couple of different phrases, ways you can say this, and you may have heard verse 6 in different phrasing, like something to be grasped. So Jesus, being the very nature God, now the word nature is literally translated form. But the context of this, since we don't know the physical form of God, is talking about how Jesus is like God, and then Paul says he is equal with God. Because now we have the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one essence, three persons. So being the very nature God, did not consider equality, something to be held onto, to be grasped, to clutch. In one commentary, they suggested that phrasing, something to be clutched onto. But he freely releases equality with God, steps down out of heaven. Jesus left glory to be born a servant, to be born in one of the most humble manners, lay in a manger. I'm always thinking in the cantata music right now, since we're going through that, it comes to mind a lot. To be born in a manger. Not with a king's crown. Not in a palace. Not to have riches bestowed upon him by people around. But God left glory come and be a servant for you. How much greater illustration can we get for humility and love for others? Now that's an interesting word, humility, being humble. Sometimes people think of that as, I'm going to think of myself less. I'm going to put myself down. And to humble myself is to think poorly about myself. Kind of flip that script in your mind a little bit. It's not about thinking about yourself less, but it's about thinking about other people more. If each of us in here will look to our church family and say, I'm going to take care of their needs over myself, and they look back at you, they're going to take care of your needs over themselves. What kind of loving family would we see when each of us is caring for others? I've seen a lot of great examples of how you all do that very well, and it's a blessing to be around you all. And in that, I want to encourage you to keep doing that. To humble yourselves, to consider other people before your own, just as Jesus did. And what happens when we get into that mindset? When we are loving and caring for other people, considering what they need more than what we need. Now, if you look at verse 12, There's that famous word that Paul loves to use, therefore. And whenever you see that word, therefore, Paul is taking a biblical principle and then shifting over into practical application. And if you look at how the passage is laid out, in my NIV Bible, verses 5 through 11 are kind of broken out into stanzas, as if it's poetry, because there are some people who think this is a hymn. I know the ESV doesn't go into that. I'm not sure if your pew Bibles do or not. But verses 5 through 11 are this wonderful example, almost a hymn to Christ. But if you look at verses 1 through 4, and then 12, the therefore is going back to that 1 through 4. Because Paul set out this wonderful way of treating each other, gives the example, and now the application. So if you think about a sentence, you have the main thought, a parenthesis, and then action. So that parentheses is the 5 through 11. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Now, I've preached on this a lot, that it's God's plan, God's salvation history, and we are part of that plan. And so as we work out our salvation, it's for his purpose, his goodwill. Now, that phrase can catch people off guard sometimes. The work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Like, hold on a second. Do we have to work for God's love? What is Paul talking about here? Just in Romans, a couple of books back, he talks about how it's grace is a free gift. Now in Philippians, he's telling me I have to work out my salvation? What are you talking about, Paul? Well, this is a topic that we've also covered in the past, of we are not working to gain salvation. But because we have been saved, we are loving others, loving and working out that salvation. It's because we have been saved, because we have been loved, because we have received grace and mercy from God, that then we go out and work for God, for his purposes, working out his salvation history. And then also working out your spiritual maturity. As you get into ministry, as you go through Bible studies, as you go through missions programs, you start to learn more and more about who God is, and what his plan is for your life. And you're working that out, gaining more and more the mind of Christ. Which takes us back to that verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. As you grow in your spiritual maturity by working out your salvation, your mind is changed more and more so that you think like Jesus. That you think in a humble manner. That you think in the will of God. Understanding your spiritual gifts. Understanding your place in the body of Christ, working out his purposes. And how do we do this? What is our manner in which we do this? We do everything without grumbling or arguing. So that, see how Paul puts out these principles and then goes application? So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. What is our purpose? The Great Commission. To make disciples all nations. What's one of the promises that God made to Abraham? That his line would be a light to the world. We come here, we praise God, we learn from God, and we take that light out so that we shine among a crooked generation like stars in the sky. So other people say, they're different. What makes them different? And we get to tell them. Jesus Christ made me different. He loved me enough to step down out of glory, die for me, to cleanse me of my sins, to regenerate my soul, so I can be reconciled to God the Father, who wraps me in his loving arms. Because this world doesn't know too much about humility, caring for others over yourselves. The world doesn't know much about love, grace, peace, mercy. But God calls us, equips us, gives us the spiritual gifts to walk out into a dark world with the light of Christ, so that others may see. We are the vehicle by which he is accomplishing his mission. His mission to bring his children back into right relationship. Through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, by the will of the Father. That's how much God loves us. And that's what we have to be thankful for. Death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the model that he gives us to live out. So as you gather around your Thanksgiving table this week, as you gather with loved ones, and think about all the blessings you have, what God has done for you, having that attitude of gratitude, don't forget to take that thought, that peace, that love, out from the table to the world around you. Because the world needs the light of Christ. How can you love others? Where has God placed you to show humility? Where has he placed you to shine your light? That's your thought. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for so many things we can't even name. Lord, it's hard to fathom that you would step out of heaven, step out of glory, come into our wretched, dark world in the form of a servant. That the God of the universe would come as a servant to save us. Sometimes hard to even imagine. But we know you did. And we can't thank you enough. Lord, we ask that you just continually remind us of who you are and who we are in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to be your light. Help us to be your hands and feet. Help us to be the body of Christ so that we may glorify you and give you all the honor and praise. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.